Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I know, you know, the standard answer has to be that, we're not going to talk about it, right?
Right.
But, I mean, there's a lot to be optimistic about, a lot to feel good about here.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it. I just think in general, I like all those, any negotiations better kept in house, and I think we'll just do that. But I agree with you.
Doesn't mean the question doesn't have to be asked. Nicely done by Bruce Levine. Jed Hoyer there saying, yeah, I'm not going to talk about my own contract extension or anyone's contract extension for that matter. I will talk about this, though, with you. The Tigers and the Cubs coming up today at 12:40 right here on The Score. The Tigers 42-24, best in baseball. The Cubs 40-24. In fact, they're the only two teams in baseball that have 20 wins on the road. The Tigers are 20-15. The Cubs are an impressive 20-13 on the road. Zach Zeman with the pregame show coming your way at 12:05. Kind enough to join us on a Sunday, John Greenberg from The Athletic with us now on 670 The Score. John, our first chance to talk. How's your Sunday going? Thanks for joining us.
It's great. Weather's nice. I took a walk with my wife in our neighborhood, and now I'm working on a story and taking a little break from self-editing to talk to you guys.
I can tell you that. I love a good walk, yeah. Evening or morning. I also love a team that's playing this well over 500, John. We're 64 games in. What is there anything concrete you feel about how good this team is?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just, you know, in years past, you kind of, especially with a shaky bullpen in recent years, you know, you wait for the other shoe to drop during a game. You say, like, how is a team going to mess this up? With the Cubs this year, it's how are they going to pull this off, even when they're down, because they have such a deep, you know, deep lineup. And that was kind of the thing Jed Hoyer stressed from spring training on in conversations, is that he just really had confidence that this was going to be a deep lineup that could win games in different ways. And we've seen it. I mean, this is a team with a lot of power, but this is also a team that can win playing situational baseball. A lot of different hitters, a lot of guys coming through, maybe better than expectations, better than the projections had them at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, this is a team, I think, really that looks like it could matter come October, as long as, you know, health permitting and things like that.
Yeah, you had a great piece on Jed Hoyer in spring training. As this, you know, his contract is up in 2025. And Jed, who is typically very buttoned up, did kind of open up and say, yeah, this was a very different feel for him. With his contract being up instead of the conversation about potential contract extension for others, do you think that he will be making decisions in 2026? Do you think that decision, that news could be coming anytime soon?
Yeah, I think he'll be making the decision in 2026. The only thing I could really look to for like kind of a precedent with this is back in 2016, Theo signed an extension, I believe right as September began. Maybe it was the end of September even. And that's when they signed it. And that's when Jed and Jason McLeod, who used to run the farm system, also signed their extensions. So to me, the precedent would say, towards the end of the season. I think the smart time to do it even would be, you know, after they lock up a playoff berth, whenever that is. I think that's the time you really do one of these, because then you can kind of say, okay, well, you do one thing at a time. And listen, all it can do for Jed is just, you know, I don't know if to say raise his price, but because he's not Kyle Tucker, but, you know, Jed came in, and I like Jed. I think there was, you know, I thought he was the guy, but listen, they hadn't made the playoffs, you know, since he took over. So, like, what would have been the point of giving him an extension?
Sure.
You know, he's worked here long enough, and yeah, maybe he should have got one. He deserved one, but, like, you got to kind of prove it too, even if he's not the one swinging the bat. So I think now the team he's built is so impressive that he should get a great extension and you know, and have the job security that I know he desires.
Yeah. And I think a big part of the investment in this team, what we're looking at right now that's come to fruition, has been what Craig Counsell has done. And we know kind of the bromance that unfolded for Jed Hoyer to sign Craig Counsell, but more importantly, that they seem to have a similar vision. Not that you need to agree on everything, but investment in Jed does seem a little bit to be connected, certainly in the big investment that you also made in Craig Counsell.
Yeah, absolutely. I think seems like they get along pretty well. I mean, Craig Counsell's kind of he's a funny guy, actually. I know he always looks miserable whenever people see him. He has this real hangdog look to him.
Right.
But he's actually like a pretty funny guy, but he's also very realistic. You know, people will try to kiss up or like, you know, just really paint rosy pictures and stuff. And Craig's pretty honest. And I think that's probably pretty good because Jed's pretty much the same way. You know, they don't get over their skis on too much. So yeah, I think they work pretty well. And I think, you know, I think they built kind of a team together that they both can enjoy watching. Everyone can enjoy watching. So yeah, I think the fact that when you do sign a manager to that kind of deal for that kind of length, you would like to keep the continuity there. And I think for Tom Ricketts, I think this should be what he wants to do in keeping these guys together. And I think, you know, Jed has proved that he is worthy of running one of the biggest teams in all pro sports.
Yeah, I would co-sign. By the way, guests, join us on the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa app today. He is John Greenberg of The Athletic. I am a subscriber. You should be as well. John, you mentioned it. Tom Ricketts, you know, I at last check, I think it was the 11th highest payroll in Major League Baseball for the Cubs. That doesn't necessarily align with what Forbes has them bringing in, per se. But how aggressive do you think that this team will be ultimately the trade deadline? I know we're certainly focusing on one key arm to replace Justin Steele, but you know, do we expect some momentous moves for a team that looks like they could not only make it to the playoffs, but have a chance to be a real contender?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's going to be a crazy blockbuster move. I think it's going to be a starting pitcher and some relievers. They really don't need much help, you know, in terms of position players. Now, that's right now, as long as the current team's healthy. Someone gets hurt, then that completely changes the dynamic. I don't know if it's going to be a blockbuster pitcher. I think it's going to be just, I don't think they want to give up the farm for anyone, but you never know who's available. So I think it'll be a kind of mid-rotation starting pitcher or like a really good guy that's on his last year of his deal. I know there's a couple guys out there that are in that situation. I mean, they're not trading for Paul Skeens, so like it's not gonna be someone like that, you know. And I know Bruce yesterday was talking a lot about Chris Sale and David Haw. They were talking about him. That would be, you know, obviously super interesting, someone like that. So, but yeah, I don't see a blockbuster. They really haven't made a ton of blockbuster deadline deals, you know, with this team. It's usually just kind of filling holes. So I kind of envision a filling hole type of guy, but you never know. I mean, it just really depends on who's available in this market. It's not like free agency where you know who you can get. So, but then again, I mean, listen, Jed made that deal for Kyle Tucker. That is a blockbuster move and a risky move because he was, you know, on the last year of his deal and you traded a pretty good prospect for him. So I think that at least to me shows that there was a lot more urgency this year. So, you know, I think in a lot of ways you hope that urgency continues at the deadline. And they get someone that's going to really – this is a team now that – yeah, they didn't – listen, the Cubs spent less. They came into the season with a smaller payroll than they had the year before, which is pretty hard to believe given, like, the stakes. And it was definitely worthy of criticism of Tom Ricketts for that. But in the same sense, you know, now they have a little more money to spend at the deadline if they have to absorb someone's contract. And now there's really no excuse – you know, money shouldn't be an option. Shouldn't be an object at all at this at the deadline.
He's John Greenberg of The Athletic. John, somewhat switching gears over to the South Side. Your reporting has been so good on this. In fact, really the first to it in February. Although I should give Spiegs a shout out because I know you mentioned him in his most recent column with his reporting of, I think, Ishbia 35% of the White Sox. But you really broke this story back in February. So here we are. What did you make of the timing of it? And do you think it's connected of what's happening at the 78 and the Chicago Fire? Like, why did we find out at all? Why did we find out when we did of the plans that are in place moving forward, potentially as early as 2029?
Well, you know, it's funny. Bob Nightingale actually had some in his column today in USA Today, and he's got pretty good Reinsdorf connections. And yeah. Bob, I will say, was saying this wasn't going to happen earlier, and then he credited me in the column, so I appreciate that. But he said, I think there were just owners' meetings recently, and for any deal like this to happen, any kind of succession plan, it's got to go through the other owners as well. And I put that in my February story that anything, you know, had to be agreed upon by the owners and by whatever else, by baseball itself, to have any kind of like plan like this. So I think part of that was just, it takes a while for a deal like this. You know, when he went through in February and people, you know, were trying to paint it as like, this is just buying minority shares, it doesn't mean anything. Well, they put in a deal, like all the lawyers and bankers they had approving this. This is a major operation. To get something like this going, you need a lot of people getting paid by the hour, you know,
right.
You know, involved in this kind of massive $1 billion deal. So I wasn't surprised it took a while to kind of get done and to get really spelled out, because it's complicated. You know, I had heard in the beginning that this was going to be a graduated kind of process, just much like it, a few other teams have had this, including Cleveland with David Blitzer, you know, is kind of in the middle of this runway to go from minority owner to controlling owner. And so it doesn't surprise me that Jerry Reinsdorf wants to hold on as long as he can. I mean, he's 89 and this baseball team is, you know, basically his life. You know, he doesn't care as much about the Bulls. He's always cared more about the White Sox. He loves being at the park. He's trying to get a new stadium. And I do agree with you, you know, what you said, the 78, I think it's got to be a huge part of it, because Justin Ishbia has actual money
right.
He can put in toward a stadium if he so wishes. And that's the next step for this team, is figuring out what they're going to do. Are they going to build a new stadium somewhere? Are they going to redevelop Guaranteed Rate Field in the area around it? You know, having someone like Justin Ishbia in your ownership group completely changes the dynamics of it, because there's just, I think as Jerry Reinsdorf found out when he started digging in Springfield, there isn't much of a political appetite to give him more money for another stadium when the current one funded by the state is still being paid off.
Does Jerry Reinsdorf know he can still go to baseball games without being an owner? I just, you know, he's got the money where he could afford a suite. I mentioned earlier, he reminds me a little bit of the DMV. The DMV doesn't operate on earning your business, because they know that you have to return. That's why they're not friendly. And he doesn't really seem to operate at all of trying to earn your business. He just doesn't really care. He just wants to own. He doesn't want to compete. And it's like, you could afford a suite. It could probably be right next door to the one that you have. You can still go to those games. But I digress. John Greenberg of The Athletic with us on 6-7 The Score, Hit and Run. We've got Cubs baseball coming your way at 12:40 against the Tigers. Pregame show will begin at 12:05. John, I want to talk about Justin Ishbia, because you know, there were two lenses I think you could really see this announcement through. And we will get into why I saw it my way, but I thought, okay, this is the best course to make sure that the White Sox remain in Chicago. The other lens is, damn it, I want to win sooner. I don't want to wait to 2029 to 2034. So let's look through the lens of the White Sox staying in Chicago. And I pulled this from your column. Ishbia said to The Athletic, I love Chicago, have always loved baseball, and am thrilled to marry those two passions. But this is a guy who went to Vanderbilt, which is located in Nashville. He also is a minority owner in Nashville's MLS team. So he has actual sports connections to Nashville. Should we feel like this announcement means that the White Sox are staying in Chicago? Nothing is promised, but I'm wondering, can I feel better about the situation with Ishbia versus Reinsdorf?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think Reinsdorf was going to move either. And listen, here's one thing of why a move would probably not happen anyway. And I've heard this from some of my colleagues at The Athletic, who are really, you know, connected in larger baseball circles. Baseball as itself, as an entity, does not want to move another team, especially with Oakland moving, you know, to Sacramento and then to Vegas. They don't like doing that in general. And we haven't seen a lot of it, really, right? Since Montreal and Washington. Like, it doesn't happen a lot. They don't like doing it. And one of the reasons why,
except for
they
Vegas.
Like Nashville as a market. Right. They like Nashville as a market. And they don't, they've already lost one expansion market in Vegas. And I think the owners, from what I've heard and I've seen reported, are very upset about that. Because when you have an expansion market, money goes into the other owner's pockets. They pay a large expansion fee. So they don't want that. They did fine, I believe, Oakland some money, the A's some money for that to kind of make up for it. But they don't want to lose another expansion market like Nashville. They want someone new to move in. You know, yeah, Chicago's got two teams and this would expand it, but that's not what they want. So that's one thing. Another thing is, yes, he doesn't just be absolutely has ties to Nashville, but he's also moved. He's not from here, and he moved to Chicago for a reason, to raise a family. He has a young family here. And he's also, you know, obviously a part owner of the Suns. He's not living in Phoenix. He's living here. And he's building a house in Winnetka that's, you can't call it a house. He's building a compound
by
in Winnetka
Frank.
That's for like, you know, it's people are saying it could be like $80 million. So why would you build, you know, this dream house where you're starting a young family, buy a team in town, and then move the, you know, he doesn't have to own the team. He wants to. So why would you want – the part of the fun is being like Jerry Reinsdorf, is going to games and going to the office. They're making that your office. Why would you want to move to Nashville when he's got a team here? So I don't think you have to worry about moving. I don't think Jerry Reinsdorf was going to move. Though he could have sold it to a team, you know, if Dave Stewart's group actually had the money, that could have happened. So, but he didn't. So I think the team's good to stay here. Now, obviously, like you said, things can change. I can't promise anything, you know, but I think we'll see the Chicago White Sox for years to come. And to be honest, this is good for the Cubs, too, because – and I know people at the Cubs who feel this way – to have a real billionaire, not where your father's a billionaire, but you're the billionaire, to have him own a team, and if they start spending money one day and really throw an influence around, that puts more – of pressure on Tom Ricketts to keep spending money and to keep pace in the city, because, you know, you can win the, you can try to win the NL Central on a budget, but like you start having the White Sox, you know, throw some money around, that creates a different kind of atmosphere for you.
John, appreciate it. Thanks for taking a break with us on a Sunday. Really good stuff on both sides of town. Thanks for the conversation.
Hey, anytime, Judson. Thanks.
All right. Good stuff. John Greenberg of The Athletic. Sign up for it. It is really, really good content. Love keeping an eye on what The Athletic has coming our way. Keep an eye on this as well. Hit and Run is sponsored by Advanced Hair Restoration. Great matchup coming up today. Cade Horton, 3-0 at what, 3.72, I believe, for the rookie, who has been sensational, filling in for Shohei Imanaga, who Shota looks like he's on his way back. He'll be on the mound Monday in Arizona getting some work in. Again, going up against Jack Flaherty. First pitch coming your way at 12:40 right here on 6-7 The Score in Detroit. Yeah, to the question about relocation, you know, if I were to ask you, what is the worst part about being a sports fan? And some of you may think, man, that Game 7 loss, right? While watching your team in a dramatic win, you know, they always find the kid crying in the stands, right? Just that heartbreak. No, I can tell you this, the worst part of sports, as John just mentioned, that the league doesn't like it, is relocation, right? There is nothing worse than not being able to say, wait till next year. And wait till next year always sounds sarcastic. Listen, my dad's from the north side. I grew up with a dad who his favorite sweatshirt read, the Chicago Cubs, even if it takes forever. And that's what you want to be invested in, is forever. No matter what, no matter how bad your team is, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, at the end of the season, you could take a deep breath and say, wait till next year. And you know what? When your favorite team moves, that saying, that goes out the window, and that is absolutely the worst. So good to get that confirmation. You know, if no matter how rich you are, no one wants to go through the haggle of building an $80, $90 million compound and then having to relocate. Right? No one wants to move. So Justin Ishbia, for my money, whether it's 2029 or whether it's 2034, that was tremendous news for White Sox fans. It may just take a little bit of patience. We wanted to revisit some of the things that Nico Horner said. And I just want to talk about the season that Nico Horner is having. There are so many areas in this Cubs team that it can be overlooked of what they are providing, of where they are, where they are. And so we're going to listen back to a little bit of what Nico Horner said with the guys, Spiegel Holmes, who talk to him every Tuesday on The Score, which I love those interviews. We'll get back to that. But I see you waiting on hold as well. And this is, I want to quote Spiegs properly here, because I love this quote so much. They are not only welcome when it comes to phone calls, but elemental to the very completion of this program. 312-644-6767. We'll get back to the calls as well. It's Hit and Run on 6-7 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Nico, right side, base hit. Two-run score. Nico comes up again. Two-run, two-out single, and the Cubs double up their lead.
All right, Judson Richards back here with you on 6-7 The Score. That call from Marquee. It has been a red-hot season for Nico Horner. It has been, in fact, a red-hot season for the Cubs. We'll have that game for you at 12:40. The rubber match against the Detroit Tigers. It has really been the mecca of Major League Baseball at Comerica Park, right? The Tigers took game one. Cubs bounce back in game two. And so we'll see if they can take game three. Had five home runs yesterday. Anyway, we'll get to these phone calls as well. 312-644-6767. Zach Zeman will take over at 12:05 with that Cubs pregame show. By the way, Jim Deshaies on the television side with Marquee Sports Network. We'll talk some Cubs with Jim coming your way at 11 o'clock. You know, I was fortunate enough as a youngster, I believe it was two summers, I went to Stanford Hitting Camp, which was pretty cool. Now, not the youngest of gentlemen. I'm 44 years old, so this was 93, 94. One of the guys who was flipping us balls there in the batting cages and forced to work as either a sophomore or as a junior, believe it or not, at Stanford University, A.J. Hinch was there flipping us baseballs. AJ's, you know, had a nice major league career, but a World Series winner as a manager with the Astros and now with the Tigers, doing great things there. And so, as you can imagine, getting to step on that ball field as a little kid, I wanted to play college baseball at Stanford. And I remember going to, I may have been in eighth grade, I went to a game, and I was reading through the program of all the players. And I was flipping through the pages as a youngster, and I was like, man, like, every single one of these guys is a 4.0 and is like Gatorade player of the year and like the best in their state. That is a tough school to get into. So I did not end up playing baseball at Stanford, but you know who did was Nico Horner. And so I always kind of keep an eye out for those Stanford guys. Carlos Quentin was a really great Stanford baseball player. And there's a thing about the way that they play there. I think their jerseys are still the same. They had these jerseys, and they've worn them for decades, that look like they were made in the 1950s. Your names are not on the back. You know, they don't have like 12 different uniforms, probably like you would see it at LSU. It is kind of this just pure style of baseball where it's not about you, the individual. It's about you, the team. It kind of, you know, it's so funny. It's a white collar school. You can imagine how much those students go on to make. But the baseball team, very blue collar. They just show up, they do their job, and they do it really, really well. And so that Stanford ball player of Nico Horner, I feel like we are watching the embodiment of what they would ask for you at that program. And by the way, Nico having a career year. And a second baseman around Major League Baseball. He is second in hits. He is fourth on base percentage. I wasn't able to track. I couldn't track down. He has been so darn good with runners in scoring position. And that's not even talking about what he does defensively or from a base running standpoint. These are the guys that fill the cracks to make sure a team is not good, but great. And I love Nico Horner with Spiegel and Holmes on Tuesdays as well. Here's Nico a few days ago. Speaking of me filling in for Spiegs and good vibes, well, Nico Horner said the vibes are good when this team is winning in different ways.
It's like, I think a sense of appreciation of winning in different types of ways. I know we've talked about that, but this past week didn't score as many runs, and our bullpen has been so good for probably like 6 weeks now. It's been incredible, and starting pitching as well. So just continuing to win in different ways. And every homestand at Wrigley, I feel like, is its own important thing. And so to continue to take care of business at home and do it in front of our fans. And yeah, it was great.
You know, we watched it yesterday, right? Because this team can hit home runs. They can also win by a great pitching outing. Ben Brown was so good on Friday night against Tarik Skubal that you would like to see him come away with a win. But and Jameson Taillon was exceptional yesterday. They've been able to allow this bullpen to somewhat rest. So, you know, whether it's on the mound, whether it's defensively, whether it's stealing bases, or whether it's just clubbing you like they did yesterday with five home runs, I think that was the most they'd hit in a road game yesterday. Two of them from Seiya Suzuki. They can win in a lot of different ways, and that's what great teams do. One more from Nico Horner. How the team goes about discussing base running tactics.
We got our hitters meeting here pretty soon. So we'll go over it as a group, the starting pitcher, and then first day of the series, we'll go over like bullpen guys we can really target if there's opportunities there. So it's more on the coaching side, them really doing deep dives and doing a lot of work for us, honestly. But then it helps a ton to see video ahead of time, so you're not seeing it for the first time when you're on the field if there is something to target. And then spring training, there was definitely more this year physically, getting out there on the base paths, working on different jumps and things like that. There's still been a good bit of that so far this year, but it's mainly the conversations going into the day.
You know, and it's shown. I think it was the month of April where they had multiple players beat out force outs at second base to extend an inning. And so much of what this team does, going back to what I expect from a guy who played baseball at Stanford, so much of what this team does begins with effort. Begins with effort, and then you get to the tactics, you get to the performance, you get to the athletes. It also helps that, like, every single one of these guys was a first-round pick. In fact, every single player in yesterday's Cubs lineup, besides, say, Suzuki, and say if he was from the States, he probably wouldn't have been a first-rounder anyways, Every single guy in that lineup yesterday, except for Seiya, was a first rounder. Three of them were out of 2015 for first round selection. So you've got talent, you've got tactics, and you've got effort. We'll get back to the phones in just a moment. 312-644-6767. One more from Nico Hohner about base running.
I feel like I've learned a ton about base running in the big leagues, honestly. I think, obviously, emphasis on college and stuff, but there's so many more nuances to the game now. And I guess something else to bring up is, like, sometimes the first day of a series will go over plays from the previous series that really stood out. And I think there's a level of accountability there, too, good, bad, everything in between. But just having that shown in front of your teammates and staff and just kind of holds everybody to a high standard, regardless of score or situation of the game, just that we're always checking those boxes.
Every Tuesday, Nico Hohner on the Score with Spiegel and Holmes. Enjoyed that. You can find the full interview on the Odyssey app as well. But Nico, you know, he doesn't hit a lot of home runs. Don't think he's got a one on the season. If Nico had just a little bit of slug, his ops would be outstanding. Like you know, his ops would be, even just with a little bit, with how well he puts the ball in play, with the on-base percentage, he just isn't necessarily a slugger. But your second baseman, the way that the game is built, doesn't necessarily need to be. But he is ultimately, don't sleep on it, one of the reasons why the Cubs have the third best record in baseball. 312-644-6767. Back to the phones, back to the texts as well. Let's go to Ben, who is all the way out in Queens with us on the Score. Hey, Ben, thanks for joining us on a Sunday.
Justin, you're doing a great job filling in on a very dark day. I have to say, Herb Spiegel was an infinite font of life knowledge, baseball trivia, and he was a master practitioner in what is one of humanity's most important things, and that's oral history. And baseball's oral history is unlike any other. You know, there aren't these shows, for instance, Hit and Run and Inside the Clubhouse for basketball and for football. Baseball is like no other, and the only thing we can do is honor him by talking about baseball. So I'm going to start talking about the Cubs before I start crying, okay?
Sure, Ben.
So listen, Jed Hoyer, I've been his number one fan. He is most deserving of an extension. If he doesn't get an extension, he could get a job anywhere else in MLB. He has taken, if you look, like some of the individual moves, 20-some appearances by David Robertson, you get Ben Brown. About the same thing for Andrew Chafin, you got Palencia. PCA for 2 months of Javier Baez. I think he's really done it. But I think now he needs to do one more move because the Cubs bullpen, okay, since the past 3 weeks, yeah, we know the numbers. But even if you go all the way back to May 1st, they're first in ERA, third and fifth, first and left on base percentage. But I still think they could do one or two more power arms in the bullpen. And there's a bunch of people in the American League East, especially if you look at the Baltimore Orioles. There's three arms. You look at Yenner Cano. You look at Bautista and also Sir Anthony Dominguez. And I don't know if Cubs fans can handle this, but if you look at Aroldis Chapman in Boston, boy, he is looking like the Aroldis Chapman of old. He could really fortify the bullpen. I don't know if Jed Hoyer wants to do that, if he could stomach it, or if he wants to go after the next. But I love what they're doing. I love the Cubs. It's a heavyweight bout between them and the Tigers this weekend, gearing up for round three. Absolutely love you. Go Cubs.
Ben, thanks so much for the call, and thanks for the kind words from Matt Spiegel. I wasn't going to mention it. It hadn't been mentioned throughout the Score, but Spiegs did take to social media last night, sent out a couple great photos with he and his father. Ruben was in there as well. Ruben, the assistant producer, of course, of Hit and Run. We were unable to fill those shoes today. My son is 5 years old, so Tyler Buterbaugh on the other side of the glass there, who's in for Sean. Tyler would have had his work cut out for him, try to entertain my five-year-old. But perhaps, who knows, maybe we'll fill in as a duo sometime as well. But Spiegs' dad, Herb, passed away at the age of 92. Just like you've heard Ruben's voice on this show, plenty you've also heard Herb's as well. So we are thinking of Spiegs. We send him our well wishes. We've gotten some really nice texts, nice phone calls as well. And Spiegs deserves every bit of it. And yeah, you know, just thinking about the game of baseball, and I mentioned my old man earlier on the show, you know, baseball is like one of the great family traditions. I don't know what sort of family traditions you all may have at home. One that I have with a young family, I love, like, we do our Christmas lights the night of Thanksgiving, right after Thanksgiving dinner. I have those lights all set up and I go out there and I Clark Griswold it. I make everyone stand out in the cold. In fact, I prefer it to be colder just to toughen everyone up to celebrate the start of Christmas as we fire up those Christmas lights. But perhaps the best family tradition is what we're doing right now, and that's talking about sports. But the family tradition of having a team, no matter who it is, because you win together, you may lose together, but most importantly, you are together. So anytime you lose someone that's part of that special tradition that you hold so dearly, anytime you see a ball game, it can be tough. So we're thinking about Matt, Ruben, the entire Spiegel family, as I'm sure they're somewhere celebrating Herb right now. And we look forward to getting Spiegs back on the score whenever he can do so. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Tom with us in Roscoe Village. Tom, what's going on?
Hi, I just wanted to call in and get your take on the way they've been using Pomerantz past few times. He just comes in for the first inning or so. I think it's for Colin Ray and Ben Brown.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before, and it's been interesting. I haven't heard them talk about it and why he does that. It's been effective, but I just want to hear your take on it.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for the call. Yeah, it's known as just kind of your opener, and it's not that new. It actually was very popular and then lost some popularity, but one of the guys who really was celebrated for doing it early on, or at least doing it to great success, was Craig Counsell. And we've seen it with Ben Brown. Perhaps most talked about was Cade Horton when he made his debut against the New York Mets. You know, do you really want to send the young guy out there as he's going to work through jitters? Do you want him to have to go through, what, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, and then Juan Soto? That's a really difficult run. So if you look at that as a high leverage situation, Tom, right? Because I was actually looking at the ERA per innings. This was a few days ago, so it's probably improved. But as of maybe 4 or 5 days ago, the two worst ERA innings, so the innings that they give up the most runs, was in the first and the eighth inning. And it was at, I think, 4.97 per first inning and per eighth inning. So if you look at that first inning as important as any other, you would consider that a high leverage situation if you're struggling to get through it. So you can allow your starter to go deeper into a game and perhaps face more hitters if you do not match him up against the first three. Also, Pomerantz, as a left-handed guy, may simply just match up better against the first three hitters to begin the game. Basically, what you're doing is you're breaking tradition. You're breaking old molds. Do you always just start your starter? Maybe not if you can get through the first inning without allowing a run. You may burn a reliever earlier in the game, but if the goal is to just win the game any way possible, I think the council has used that opener to great success. Ben Brown may say, listen, let me be a traditional starter. Well, he let him do it the other day against the Detroit Tigers, and it works masterfully. There is no opener today for Cade Horton like we saw against the New York Mets. So whether council is trying to set up his young guys for success or just go ahead and win a ball game, right? He calls all of his pitchers outs getters. Just go get outs. Forget about the role, forget about the title, forget about the inning. Just go get outs. I think we're watching both. I think he's trying to set young guys up for success and allowing them to have a better start to their start, even if it comes in the second inning. And then it's also just matchups. Brad Keller, I believe Brad Keller did it in New York. He was phenomenal. The times that they have used that opener, it seems to have worked really, really well for the Cubs. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Ken now in the South Side with us. Hey, Ken, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Judd. Sorry to hear about Spieg. That's so sad.
Yeah.
You know, for the Cubs to be in the position they are, losing all the starting pitchers, their top-line pitchers, it's pretty obvious to me they're the way they run the bases and their fielding is what's doing it right now. And obviously they're batting too, they're hitting too, but you stole my thunder. One of my favorite players on the Cubs is for sure Nico Hoerner. The guy is just a gamer. He does everything well. And I would say him, Swanson, and Crow have to be the top three. I mean, right up there, up the middle in baseball. Their fielding and just everything they do so well. But as far as the Cubs defense goes, they are so, they have gold gloves throughout the starting lineup. And the only thing I hope they're, I think it's going to happen soon, but is I think, first baseman, I'm drawing a blank right now.
Michael Bush.
Bush.
Yeah.
He has to be an everyday player because Turner, he really, I mean, I know he's a nice guy, don't get me wrong, but he brings nothing to the table. Maybe in the dugout he does, but I have to see him. I'm sure they have a guy in the minors that can produce more than him, and I'm predicting that he's probably going to get DFA'd eventually. But as far as their defense is, I mean, is unbelievable. And when they take the first baseman out of the lineup, his defense is right up there with him. So I don't understand why he would even be on the bench. Period. So. I don't know your thoughts on that. Thanks.
Yeah, Ken, thanks for the call. You know, it's speaking of Craig Counsell and matchups, the opener versus just running out your, you know, the traditional starter of that day, Ben Brown or Cade Horton, it's really worked for Counsell. He has made the right moves. And, you know, I was thinking about Carson Kelly because when Carson Kelly was red hot to begin the season, he was still splitting time with Miguel Amaya. Now, whether that was giving him a rest to get off his knees and keep him fresh, or Craig Counsell was just playing lefty-righty matchups or who would match up better against a particular pitcher, if I'm Carson Kelly, I just want Craig Counsell to be putting me in the situations that he's putting me in to succeed. So if you look at there's two trains of thought for the way Michael Bush is playing. Number one is he has earned it, and we have seen him have enough decent or productive at-bats against left-handers where he deserves to do it more. Or you say, perhaps we just let Craig Counsell keep using him the way that he's using him, and that's allowing Michael Bush to look as good as he's looking. The problem is, who's coming in instead of him? Because, Ken, I agree with you. I don't think Justin Turner is going to be on this team much longer. Why? Because they're too damn good, and they need that roster spot to be able to fill a role on the field. You know, I don't want Justin Turner Case Keenuming his way around this team. Case Keenum, what he's doing for Caleb Williams? Great. That's pretty important. Justin Turner offering some positive feedback for some of these guys when you've got as good a coaching staff as the Cubs do, but doesn't provide anything on the field. This is not a 53-man roster. We're going to need someone who can provide, and maybe, you know, that maybe that role of who Justin Turner becomes, right? Like, maybe they want someone who is specifically great at base running. Maybe they want someone specifically who is maybe a great defensive outfielder. At some point, you're going to need more of a piece to move with as you get deeper into this thing, especially if the Cubs continue to be as good as they are. 312-644-6767. Phone calls are coming in. We've got Cubs and the Tigers coming up today. We'll keep moving on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That one ripped left field. Well struck. That's back. And it's gone. Say a Suzuki. The solo homer, and just like that, Cubs lead 1-0 for Saya, his 15th.
And the next offering, swinging a fly ball to right, it's deep. Back goes Perez on the warning track at the wall. That ball is gone for a home run. A high towering drive to straightaway right. That ball got some carry.
You know, Spiegs was in this morning. He would probably launch into singing "Let Me Tell You About My Best Friend." I will not attempt to do that today. Judson Richards in for Spiegs. Cubs baseball coming your way at 12:40 today. Cubs Tigers rubber match. Zach Zabin will get set at 12:05. The pregame show will get started. We will talk about all this friendship. It's so much fun between Pete Crow Armstrong and Seiya Suzuki. You got to love it. There was some fun audio after the game. We'll get to that in a moment. I did want to duck in a phone call. Mike in Willow Springs is with us on 6-7 The Score. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, Justin.
You got it.
Council, to his credit, has shown adaptability for the new school, so to speak, a little bit new school, with the openers. And might end up doing that in the playoffs, by the way, but that's a different conversation. What I'm wondering is why he doesn't give a crack at the new school left-handed Michael Busch against lefties, batting him ninth. I know guys are comfortable in a certain spot in the order. It's old school. It's always been that way. But that's the way you get Busch to face a lefty one time through the lineup, maybe a second time, but certainly not a third time. You know, back and clean up her fifth, you know, and that's how you solve your problem. Because he clearly has I think his OPS is over 900 in limited at bats against lefties. He clearly has the potential to be an everyday player. So change it up a little bit, go new school and drop him the ninth against left-hander.
Yeah, Mike, no, that's a really interesting thought. Thanks for the phone call. It's very much what we were talking about with the openers. From starting a reliever, for allowing your starting pitcher to get through or deeper into the game without going around to the third time of seeing the same hitters, because statistics show you that once you get to see a guy for that third time, it gets worse the second time. He can get really bad the third time. So to Mike's point, if you move Michael Busch to ninth, and this Cubs offense is moving the way that it's moving, so you know that most likely the opposition is going to get their starter out before you get around to the third time, then there's a really good chance that there's no way that Michael Busch sees a lefty more than twice, unless, of course, they bring a left-handed reliever in. But that's good manipulation. I think Michael Busch has earned it, by the way, and I certainly don't think that there's anyone in this lineup, including Justin Turner, that's going to give you a better chance from a matchup standpoint of having production from your first baseman. He's just played really, really well, right? It's another credit to Jed Hoyer in that move to see a guy that hadn't played much in the bigs that has been a vital part of this team. Okay, let's begin with Let's begin with PCA yesterday, because Seiya Suzuki keeps calling young. He's not that much younger than him, but Seiya Suzuki keeps reminding us, he's trying to keep up with me home runs, RBI wise, but PCA is like, this is how I feel about being that little brother.
Everything that Pete does is like a little kid, so he feels like Pete is like his little brother.
So that was through the interpreter. Let's go back to May 25th. Say Suzuki says that I'm the adult in this relationship.
Say, I think I have to start off with your relationship with Pete Crow Armstrong. How would you describe the dynamic between the two of you?
I think one way to describe it, it's an adult and a child.
Who's the adult and who's the child?
誰が大人で誰が子供ですか?
Me が大人です。
I'm the adult.
I got to say that that's a good follow-up by Taylor McGregor of the Marquee Sports Network, because I assumed that the adult was Seiya Suzuki. That was the answer. But hey, you never want to make an assumption. Yesterday, PCA had to answer to, again, being called the little brother of Seiya.
No, that's up for debate. We can work that one out behind closed doors.
You know, whenever you have those types of giggles, you know that it's been a good day at the ballpark. Because, again, even if a team is really, really good after a loss, not a place of smiles and celebration. It is very, very somber place. One more from PCA. Again, back to May 28th, about Seiya being a great fit in the locker room between those two.
He struck me as pretty comfortable even when I first came up. But, like, having years with guys, I was just talking about it, too. Like having a year with everybody under my belt specifically, that helps. Really helps. But, you know, it's also important to recognize that it's not easy being a guy that speaks the language that nobody speaks. Because a lot of us can pass with our crappy Spanish and stuff like that. But it doesn't seem like he's had to do much to fit in or anything like that. He was immediately a part of the Chicago Cubs when he signed here, and if anything, his relationship with us is just growing. And he is just a blast to be around. He's the best. I mean, he has something so light about him when games feel stressful to me. And he's got great one-liners to share too. When you seem like, or when you don't really, think you need him, you need him, and he's just the best. I love Shay.
Are you picking up any Japanese?
I'm trying, but not really well. No, not at all.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. well played, Tyler. The verbal back and forth is great between those two. One of the reasons why they have such a fun back and forth is because their offensive prowess this season. Seiya Suzuki, third in RBIs in all of baseball at 55 of them. Pete Crow Armstrong has 54 RBIs, so he's one back there. Now, Pete joked yesterday that he said to Seiya, "Hey, man, you got to hit two, and you still can't catch me via home runs." Seiya hit two yesterday, but PCA hit his 17th. And then Seiya Suzuki hit his 15th and his 16th. So these two have been exceptional. They did. It does sound like they're becoming best friends. Also, absolute all-stars in Major League Baseball. How good has this atmosphere been at Comerica Park in Detroit? We will go there next. Jim Deshaies of the Marquee Sports Network will join us on 670 The Score.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.